My name is Julie Tai, and I am the Director of Chapel at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studios' audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
Emmanuel, God with us, has its roots in the story that we're going to be looking at today. And what's so incredible to me about this passage and what excites me so much about life with God is that in this passage, the miraculous, wild, glorious mystery of a divine incarnation, God's huge, huge, loving mission of redeeming all of creation, the idea that had been there from the beginning of all time, all of this intersects with the particular life of a young woman. Mary had every reason to run screaming from this angel. She had every cause to consider him an angel of darkness, not a messenger of the Lord. For having a child out of wedlock, she could be stoned for adultery. And at the very least, she could be rejected by Joseph, her parents, her village. She could spend the rest of her days in even deeper poverty, struggling to keep herself and her child fed outside of the safety of a marriage and a community. But the amazing thing, the faith-filled thing, the thing that we're called to try to live into every single day is that Mary doesn't reject God's ridiculous plan of inhabiting her womb. And we don't reject what might seem ridiculous, that God wants to inhabit our very ordinary, flawed lives with the miracle that began the whole universe, and that we are to be anointed as Mary was, to be a part of changing the world. What Mary does, though, she hurries to see her cousin Elizabeth. And I think this says to us, even as I said at the beginning of our service about passing the peace, for us to live like Mary, for us to live with what God is doing inside of us, we desperately need one another. Mary and Elizabeth needed each other to call out, to validate, as John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb and validated for both Elizabeth and for Mary, this is really real. Because I guarantee you Mary had those times of doubting. I guarantee you Elizabeth did as well, and we do. We can't believe this big, glorious story of God's redemption of the world involves me when I'm struggling with depression, or I have a broken relationship that I can't seem to heal, or I don't pray very much, or I see all the things in me that lead me to believe, how can this be? How can God be using me to be a part of his mission of saving the world? But Mary rushed to see Elizabeth, and she breaks into this incredible song. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. One of the things that I learned in reading Joel's commentary on this is that Luke is a gospel that focuses on God even more than Jesus. That in Luke's gospel, it's the saving work of God that gets shown over and over again. And Jesus is the main character. But the focus continually goes back to God's promises in the Old Testament. This has been God's purpose from the very beginning, to save all of humanity. This great hymn of praise reminds us of some other songs of praise that are in the Old Testament, songs of deliverance, songs of praising God for his mercy. Moses and Miriam and Hannah sing songs that are very similar to Mary's Magnificat, praising a God who's faithful and will let nothing stand in the way of God's actions and his intention to save. But Mary also sings of a God who reaches down and touches the pain of God's people. This God lifts up the victims of economic poverty and political violence and draws them into his gentle arms, the way a mother hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings. And this God sends the proud packing, the powerful and the corrupt kings who are fluent in the ways of violence are thrown down and the rich who have hoarded the stuff of creation for their own purposes are sent away with nothing but their greed. At the time that Mary sings her revolutionary song, though, nothing has yet changed on the surface. And just as you hear these things too, probably what comes into your mind right away are all the experiences you have as you read the newspaper and you just look around at our world, that that's not the world that we see around us. Mary claims that God has brought down the powerful from their thrones, and yet the Roman Empire continues to dominate the Israelites in their own land. She professes that God has filled the hungry with good things, but famine still plagues the people of the earth. How can Mary's very soul be bursting with glimmering joy when there's so much reason to be discouraged and despairing and to give up? It's irresponsible. It's idiotic, my dad would say. And yet every word of Mary's delicious rejoicing is true. The magnification of God that emanates from Mary's soul is deeply and radically and eternally true. This crazy, unimaginable thing that we believe as Christian people is that God has promised to redeem all of creation. And Mary's song reveals that the ultimate meaning of the incarnation that's growing within the space of her womb with the birth of this child, really with the conception of this child, by the overshadowing of the power of the Holy Spirit, the course of human history is going to be changed, and drastically for the better. Things are not right, and we know it, but we believe that God has created the world to be a place of intimate shalom with him and with one another. And this is the revolution that Mary's a part of and that we're to be a part of, that we can be honest about the reality that we see around us, not shirk back from that, not have on rose-colored glasses and not address the real problems that are in our own lives, in our fuller community, in our world. But at the same time, we believe in the deepest fiber of our being that because Jesus was born, because Jesus is God and man, he is Emmanuel, God with us, that he is the mighty one who has done great things and will do great things. A beautiful change is in gestation, and the final triumph of life over death is going to happen. Our verse for this year is Luke 4:18-19. And Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, is reading the scroll from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But Isaiah 61 goes on and says, and the day of the vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. In Isaiah's words, we find this same deep rejoicing in the work of our God that Mary's song holds. Now we have the fact of oppression and racial prejudice, the deep pain of broken hearts, and Isaiah declares also that the advent of good news is coming, the binding up of our wounds. Now we have captives and prisoners, but all people are going to be liberated from all kinds of captivity. Now we are faint with fear and despair, but Isaiah proclaims with Mary that we shall be reborn under the happy weight of the mantle of praise. So the child developing within Mary's body who causes John the Baptist to jump for joy will grow into a king whose reign is everlasting. And the words he will use to initiate his ministry in the Gospel of Luke are these same words of Isaiah. He is the anointed one. He is sent to bring good news. He is good news. Everything's going to change because God has been enfolded into a human being. Does it seem irresponsible and idiotic to really believe this? Have you seen evidence of this? I long for us this year in our community to see actual evidence of this, that the same Spirit of God that came upon Isaiah, the same Spirit of God that overshadowed Mary, the same that filled Moses and Miriam and Hannah and put songs in their mouth, the same Spirit that anointed Martin Luther King's sermons and marches, and the same Spirit that flows through Pope Francis. That Spirit is given to each one of us. And as we say yes to God's radical, revolutionary work, as Mary did to step out of any fear and anxiety she had of how can this be, what is going to happen to me? I'm a teenage girl who's going to be impregnated by the Spirit of God. I have no idea where this will take me, but God, I say yes. If we could say yes like that, and this year we could explore, we could pray together, we could call out in one another, what has God placed within you? What have you been anointed to do? We're going to have a time later in the service to bring up some prayers for the new year and be anointed with oil. And may you come with a deep desire to be open and to say yes to whatever it is that God has placed inside of you, to be a part of this kind of work that we can do together as the body of Christ here at Fuller, to preach good news, to help release captives, to help recover sight, to bind up brokenhearted people, and to preach good news. So as we honestly bring our real lives and our real needs to God, the things that we're feeling overwhelmed by, the things that we're not sure could ever change, we are invited to sing with Mary her revolutionary song, that God is the mighty one who has done and will do great things for us. And holy is his name. Amen.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.